Welcome to Relationships in Recovery, a podcast that goes beyond storytelling and provides uncensored and vulnerable shares with insights into the world of sobriety and some of the biggest reasons for relapse, which is sex, love, and relationships. My name is Eve Milford, and I am your sober sexologist. This podcast has been inspired from my own journey of substance addiction and the many years I've studied sex, love, and relationships. And I'll be sharing with you how to navigate intimacy, boundaries, rejection, sex, love, and so much more, all whilst living a life in sobriety and recovery. So come along with me and let's do this. Welcome to another episode. And this episode is kind of goes in conjunction with episode 16. And this is all about, so we've spoken about what it feels like to be rejected. And this one is all about being the rejector. So we're all too familiar with the emotional currents that come with this absolutely delicate dance. And so today, like I say, we're going to be navigating the experience of being the one who is doing the rejecting, because I recall a few moments that, you know, talking about dating or things like that with clients, and they've said to me, you know, I just don't know what to do when it comes to me rejecting them. And so that does come up often when I'm with a client and we're talking about conscious dating. That's a huge one. But also when I'm looking at things like breakup, heartbreak, divorce, those kinds of things. So when we're looking at this, we're obviously looking at boundaries too, which I'll get into a little bit more. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about strategies, how you can have those really difficult conversations and how you can feel and move forward with that as well. Being able to stand in your power and feel empowered to be able to say no or to, speak up when it's time to speak up and to have some authority and leadership in that space. So we're going to be visiting the idea that rejection isn't just about the person being rejected. It also affects the one doing it as well. So as discussed in episode 16, we often discover the fear of rejection in various contexts, such as romantic or professional. There's a whole host of reasons why somebody might be rejected, and in all different areas. So the fear becomes particularly pronounced when taking on roles of authority, such as parenting or leadership roles as well. So as I spoke about, poor boundary setting can stem from the fear of rejection. Yes, I'm going to say that again. Poor boundary setting can stem from the fear of rejection. So when we're in positions of authority, we might struggle to set healthy boundaries just due to that fear of saying no or having limits, and we're scared or fearful that that's going to lead to rejection. So one of the big key things here is about working out and developing how to have really great boundary setting skills, and that is absolutely pivotal when we navigate these really challenging processes, being able to move through. And the way that we do that is by building tolerance and resilience to this. So moving beyond the fear and improving our ability to reject when it's necessary, we do this, as I say, by building that resilience and tolerance. And just remembering as well, rejection isn't just about saying no. It's about understanding the differing viewpoints and opinions. So there's biases in this as well, that don't necessarily equate to personal rejection. And when we're building that resilience, that involves facing small rejections and small rifts. So even though it might be a case of, you know what, we're not going to say anything here. There's no point. I'm just going to let it go. In actual fact, you're doing a real disservice to yourself. Because if you do have those conversations that are difficult and hard, it makes it even more tolerable, makes you even more empowered and resilient to know how to handle and have even harder conversations. Conversations that you thought you would never have. So just remembering that part, having a repair, a way to be able to repair after a rupture is so important in every aspect, instead of just avoiding. And so, of course, when we're looking at this, we can see that there are attachment styles that are also involved here. So I'm going to talk about, you know, if we understand why we have rejection, if we actually understand that rejection can empower us, it can empower our relationships, not just from the person doing the rejecting, but also for the person receiving as well. Because you're highlighting and giving them a view of what that feels like. Because, you know, this is such a human experience. And we would have all, at some point in our lives, done one or the other. So if we look at it in the context of parenting, children really need to be able to go through and experience disappointment and then repair. So they then can develop their own way of having healthy relationship skills as well. But parents who consistently enforce boundaries are creating this environment of mutual respect. They're really stepping into that leadership role. And it also creates trust as well. And it teaches them how to be able to have a rupture and then repair that as well. When you're giving them it's so important to have that, the acceptance of compromise. So being able to have that conversation with a child it's huge, absolutely huge. So this concept obviously does extend beyond parenting. So whether or not it's in personal relationships or in the workplace, having boundaries, maintaining boundaries really does create such strong connections, and it helps to avoid falling into patterns where our fear of rejection takes absolute center stage. So the absolute practical approach to all of this is by encouraging change and growth. It's about initiating those small changes despite pushback and just maintaining those boundaries. And this really does give such a more authentic connection, relationship. You can feel it in your body, the empowerment, there's mutual respect. And then there's a reduced fear of rejection for you as well. So just like it is building muscles, building the ability to reject effectively really does involve facing challenges. It does involve having those conversations that do feel really sticky and icky. But remembering as well that this is all a learning experience. And I'm going to give you some strategies as we move on as to how you can do that effectively. And what I do want to say, this isn't about being, this isn't about, you know, being aggressive with this. This is about feeling into your authority figure, the empowered part of you that gets to speak up, that maybe didn't have a chance or has never had that, right? And again, that in itself is a whole space to be taken into. And that's definitely something that I coach in. in terms of being able to set boundaries. That is number one, and it's so key in terms of working through all of the things relationship-wise and beyond. So balancing between kindness and assertiveness. It's a fine art, and it does take practice. It takes practice. So let's be completely honest here. The process of rejecting someone is a task that seldom comes with ease, and it requires a real deep understanding of the other person's feelings. And while we're doing that, we are simultaneously trying to navigate our own emotions and our own feelings as well. And so acknowledging this complexity is really a first step to approaching the situation with empathy and respect. And I'm going to talk so much about empathy and respect. So when you find yourself in the position of rejecting someone, you're really placed in this dual role, because you would know how that feels, and possibly you do have a fear of it, hence why you might be listening to this, because you know and you understand what that feels like and the reason why you can't say no, or you can't have those difficult conversations, is because you have that fear yourself, as I spoke of earlier. You could be feeling a mix of guilt, apprehension, maybe sadness. Maybe it's something that you know in your heart of hearts this needs to be done, but you know your head is saying no. Or maybe it's the other way around. Your head is saying yes and your heart is saying no. And that can really be very triggering and very, very difficult. So just noticing that within yourself, feeling that and being with it, really allowing yourself to notice what that feels like. And so you really might be grappling with the knowledge that you're delivering disappointing news that could really potentially hurt someone's feelings. So again, recognizing the range of emotions the person being rejected might experience is important. So their emotional response is not a reflection of your worth or intention. It's just a natural human reaction to an impactful event. So really knowing that and understanding that. And so that brings us into navigating empathy. This is a big one. This is a big one. And something that I absolutely love to share and work with clients on in this one. So the key to navigating this is by placing yourself in their shoes, so you can gain insight into how your decision might actually affect them. And it's not about this isn't about assuming responsibility for their feelings. Be very clear about that. This is about approaching the situation with sensitivity and understanding. So it is really important not to forget about your own emotions during this whole process. So noticing those as well. But also when we're in that space of navigating that empathy and being in their shoes, I just want to give you a really quick little way to be able to do that. And this is what I work with my clients on. I call it pillow work. And it is basically you sit on one cushion. There's a cushion opposite you. You sit in on your own cushion and you're seeing the other person and you're literally having that conversation with them. So they're sitting, you're visualizing them sitting in front of you and you're having that conversation. Then when you're ready, you'll get up and you'll move and you'll sit on that cushion where you just saw them sitting, and you'll become them. You'll feel them as they've heard all the information. So then you're going to sit there and you're going to respond back with how you feel, having heard the information that you were just given. And you can keep doing this back and forth, until it feels comfortable, until it feels complete. But this is about you feeling in your body what that will feel like to receive that information for yourself. So you'll have a very good idea on how they will feel. I mean, of course, you're not going to have the full idea. You don't know how they're going to react to any of it. And I'll get to that part in a bit. So knowing that, right, you can really sit in that and empathize and feel what they could be feeling, having heard what you have just said. And you know what? That's going to help you with your conversation as well, because it might actually help you to decide what to say and what not to say. So that's also another key area. So again, we're just going to go back to that balancing empathy and self-care piece, remembering that you have your feelings and acknowledging your feelings, and please seeking support from any friends, any mentors, any therapists, anything that you have that you'll be able to rely on to also be able to help you in this at this time as well. And so really just reiterating that we've all experienced rejection in some form or another. It really is a shared human experience, and it really does connect us. That's why I really wanted to talk about this particular thing, because it does connect us massively. You know, I can remember times when I'm like dating and I'm looking and I'm like, oh my God, I've been ghosted or whatever it is. And then about a week later, I was doing the same thing to other people. I was just ghosting them. And I really had to take a good hard look at that and go, how can I be so angry that I've been ghosted or rejected, and then in the same, you know, a matter of days, I'm doing the same thing? Like, of course you're going to be rejected if you're rejecting as well, right? So allowing that space to remember that it is a shared human experience, and remembering what that feels like for you, what it felt like for you as well, so you can come to a place of that respect, of them working out, how do I have this conversation? And like, if you are dating, that is like a whole different topic of ghosting. it's not one that I could go on for hours, but it is, you know, again, it's rejection. Again, it still feels horrible and icky, and it's not nice when someone just avoids, but that's essentially what it is. So yes, allowing yourself to have that and know that there is that human connection, the human experience that really does connect us. Again, the complexity of rejecting someone is acknowledging that, because that really does help for a real deep conversation that maybe you didn't know was within you. But you can understand that. And it's not about that gaslighting. It's not about any of that. It's more about sitting in it, doing that. You could do that practice. It's such a good practice. I love doing that practice. And feeling into that and really connecting that way. And so as we know, receiving rejection can really invoke strong emotions, such as sadness, disappointment, anger, as I spoke about in episode 16. And so when you're able to empathize with the other person, you're better able to kind of anticipate maybe where they're going to go and understand why they're having those emotions. So, and that's really good, because it's able to sort of help you guide, like I spoke about just now, about choosing your words and your tone. Your tone is really important with this as well. So it can potentially help soften the blow, basically. So how do you have this difficult conversation? Well, here are a few little pointers. Prepare yourself mentally. So take a moment to put yourself in the right mindset. Don't be having this conversation when you're all heightened and angry and whatever else. Just recognize the importance of the conversation and remind yourself to approach it with empathy and kindness. choose the right time and the right location. If you're doing this face-to-face, I understand that that might not be the case these days, but where possible, face-to-face is always best. It is very tricky over text message or even a voice message, again, because of the tone, you see. They'll be able to hear the tone of you, of your voice, of how you mean something. And so, yeah, it's super important. So find an appropriate time and place to have the conversation, and just ensure that the person is in a receptive and comfortable state of mind as well. So kind of just gauge how they're feeling before you have the conversation too. And so if you are meeting face-to-face, opt for a private and quiet location, just where you can be uninterrupted, and it also helps to create safety for the other person and for yourself too. So a conversation can actually be had rather than a very quick. And I know this is the thing, right? We do want it to be very quick and like, that's it, I'm done. Bye. But being able to give the opportunity, you know, have the opportunity to have a conversation, an actual proper conversation. And throughout this whole time, this is remembering your sovereignty, your authority, not from ego, from a space of love and kindness. And the reason you're having this conversation, remember, is to flex that muscle, is to have that resilience and that tolerance to be able to have difficult conversations. And the reason we want to have difficult conversations is because it makes for such a fulfilling way to live and be in relationship. It is conscious relating. That's what this is. Even with the difficult parts. So active listening is really important, paying attention to the other person's words, and also, if you can, the nonverbal cues during the conversation. That can really give you a good insight into their emotional state and help for you to tailor any response accordingly. So validating feelings and acknowledging their emotions without any judgment is really crucial. And you can say phrases like I understand that this might be disappointing for you, or I can see that you put a lot of effort into this, demonstrating that empathy. So whatever it is that you're getting back, just listening and validating what they're saying by validating their feelings. Now, this is a big one. Offering an explanation. So while empathy is absolutely crucial, it's also important to provide a really clear and honest explanation for the rejection. Whew, breathe that one in. So balancing empathy with transparency can really help the person better comprehend the decision that's been made by you. So clear reasons for the rejection help the other person really understand. And the understanding can provide a sense of closure. Allowing them to move forward and potentially learn from the situation as well, from the experience. So after delivering a rejection, providing closure is such a crucial step. This is, I'd say, a very big part of why people respond the way they do to rejection, is because they don't know why. And I myself can recall many, many times after receiving rejection or being ghosted or whatever it is, always asking why. What did I do wrong? That was my go-to. What did I do wrong? Why? because I never got an answer. I never got closure. And so inviting that invitation, allowing that to be spoken out will be very soothing, very reassuring, and again, crucial in helping them to move forward. And also, it doesn't hold on to false hopes, which I'll talk about a little bit more in a bit. So offering closure really does demonstrate your respect for their feelings and them as an individual and your commitment to maintaining open and honest communication throughout this interaction, which is essentially what this flexing and building that muscle up really is. So avoiding misinterpretation is another key space. And I think that will come with, you know, that closure piece as well. So any vague or ambiguous rejections can really lead to confusion and speculation, you know, somebody really just thinking, oh, no, we're still in a relationship or whatever it is. Oh, no, I've still got the job or whatever it is. So by providing that clear and honest reason, you really do reduce the chances of the person misinterpreting the situation or feeling that they've been treated unfairly. So here we come to the false hopes part again, because that could, you know, if you're not speaking clearly, if you're not sort of maintaining or offering that explanation, then there could be this false hope that occurs. So politely and gently, with so much love and kindness, make it so clear that while you appreciate their interest, you don't want to give them false hope for a different outcome. And so really setting those expectations. So emphasizing that you believe it's really important for everyone to move forward with precise and accurate expectations of what is going to happen next. And you'll be able to give those examples of what will happen next. Because I don't know what the situation is. You might want to follow up with the person. You might want to, check in with them. You might not want to entirely stop, contact, whatever the situation is, but you need to be very, very clear yourself before you even have this conversation of what that is. And then you can have that conversation and allow for any feedback from that person, any responses. And you're allowed to change your mind in any of this. But remembering that this is all about setting healthy, wonderful boundaries. So the next thing if this is appropriate for you to do, you can express your regret. Only if that's appropriate. If you truly feel regret for the situation, then go ahead and express that. That just shows that you're not indifferent to their feelings. So again, this is only if this is applicable, suggesting alternatives, depending on the situation. You might want to offer suggestions of how they can move forward or improve for future opportunities. And that would probably be more so for anyone who, went for a job or something like that. I wouldn't have thought that would be in the space of relationships, unless you're, coaching that person. But I really wouldn't make those suggestions. This is really only if this is applicable. You're still invested in helping them grow or whatever it is. And then, of course, thanking them for understanding, if they respond gracefully, of course, and express your appreciation for their mature response. And I'm hoping that that is what occurs. Because, as we know, It might not. It might not be. It might not be a nice sit down conversation that goes back and forth and everyone goes, okay, thank you, I love you, goodbye. And that is a whole nother, this is a big part, dealing with their reactions. So responding to various emotional reactions after delivering rejection is such a delicate task. Again, that requires that word empathy. It requires patience and it requires understanding and acknowledgement. People react different ways when they get this kind of news, when they've been rejected. As I spoke about before in episode 16, and there's generally three different responses. So if you haven't listened to that, go check that out. But I'm just gonna talk a little bit about some of the reactions that you could get and how you might be able to, just some insights and suggestions on working with that. So if someone is feeling hurt or sad, express empathy. Just acknowledge their feelings and let them know that you understand that the news might be painful. And you can use language like, I can see that this news was difficult for you and I'm sorry for any hurt it may have caused. So just acknowledging them, in that moment, in that time. And just let them express their emotions without judgment. Validating their feelings can help them feel heard and it can help them feel understood and acknowledged. And you can let them know this, you know, provide the validation by saying something like, it's completely natural to feel hurt in this situation. And then offer support if that's appropriate for you to do. So just showing that you care. Giving them time and space. So some people might need that time and space just to process their emotions. And so that's why there might be like a follow-up piece as well, if required, if needed. And if you're available for that, you can let them know. If you can't respond right now, that's okay. I'll give you some time and space, and when you're available, let me know when you're ready to talk. Again, if you have that capacity to do that. And so number one in the response is anger. So remain so calm with this one. If they respond with anger, just stay calm and composed. Your own composed state can really help to diffuse the situation. So listen actively, let them express their anger without interrupting. As long as you're safe, that's probably first on the list. Make sure that you are safe in all of that. And if you can have that active listening and just show that you value their perspective and their emotions. And even if you don't agree with their viewpoint, just acknowledge that you see them. You see them. I see you. I see that you're hurt and I see that you're angry. And just allow them to be that. And if you can, refrain from becoming defensive or argumentative. Just instead focus on understanding their perspective and addressing their concerns, if you can. Again, if you've already offered them an explanation, there's maybe not much more that you can do. But if they're still unsure and it's a bit vague for them, just explain and offer them an explanation again. Just provide further context for the decision that you've made. And that can kind of really help to alleviate the anger if they start really understanding the reasoning better. And disappointment is another emotion that they may display. And so just recognizing the effort that they put in and express your appreciation. Just so you can see that it, you know, that they, you appreciate what they've put in, the time, the effort, and just so that you're respecting them. That what they did wasn't in vain. And again, this is more for if you're a leader at work, you can highlight their growth opportunity as well. Just the learning experience for them, and just encourage them to see that it's an opportunity for growth and it's a way to improve. You can also suggest future possibilities as well if that is something that is worth looking at. Okay, so it's really key to respond to the emotions and to approach each situation with empathy and without judgment. Because emotions really are, they can be so confusing for us all, because sometimes we don't even realize why we're reacting the way we are. But there's, you know, there's always going to be a level of that because maybe we haven't gone deep enough to delve into the wounding. And that is definitely something out of all of this that is so key. So even if you are the rejector and you are worried about doing that, again, as I spoke of right up from the outset, it's your own fear of rejection that is creating that space that you're unable to speak up and set those boundaries. And so why that's so important is because then you can look at your own space of wounding in rejection, and allowing yourself to come from a really healthy space moving forward. So it's so delightful having these conversations and for me to be able to sit here behind the microphone going, oh my gosh, yes, go have these wonderful conversations. Because, you know, as I spoke of earlier, like, this isn't something I used to do, but let me tell you, the way that my life is now, the people I have in my life are people I can have these conversations with. I can abandon myself in these moments and I can go fully into avoidant. But I also know that the people that I have in my life, I can have these hard conversations with, and they are not hard. They are hard for about 2 minutes when you have to show your face and you have to drop the pride and the ego. And then you get to speak up and say, this is how I feel. I mean, you know, there's a crossover here a little bit with conflict resolution, a little bit in terms of that. If you feel rejected from a close friend, from a parent, from sibling, from whomever it is that you're close with, from a partner, whomever you're close with, you know, that, and you felt rejection from that, you can still have this conversation. This still stands. It just means that, you know, you don't have the follow-up. You do have the follow-up. You would have more of the follow-up than you would have anything else. But there's no goodbye forever. It's more of a, okay, well, how should we move forward with this if this was to happen again? You know, but the more you have those conversations, the more comfortable it is to be able to have them again and again and again. Because as much as it would be wonderful to say, let's all be kind and love each other. The fact is that sometimes, because sometimes our wounding does come up, and as I've spoken about so many times before, we get to liberate parts of ourselves, parts of the wounded pieces. But we, you know, acknowledging as well that there's still layers, there's still things from, you know, part that's piled up inside of us that we still need to liberate. And so allowing ourselves to be able to have these kind of conversations that seem really fucking hard at the beginning, when you don't want to have the conversation, when every part of your being is like, I'm just going to brush that under the carpet and hope they also do the same. But it's not good when there is no closure. That really does cause such a rupture and it's a pattern, you know, it's a pattern as well. It's keeping on with that avoidance. I'm just going to ghost. I'm just going to not bother. I'm just going to blame them for everything and not talk to them ever again. So having a space to be able to come to and be the rejector if you need to be, then allow yourself to do that, to be that. This isn't about hurting anybody on purpose. This is about sitting down and allowing to give yourself what it is you need, your boundaries. You know, maybe you've never done this before, and I get it. And it sounds all too airy-fairy, but it is one of the most nourishing things that you can do for yourself, because it means you don't get to run away. You get to take responsibility for your feelings, and you set your boundaries with the people who are in your life that you love dearly. Whew, such another cracker of an episode. Absolutely loved that. And, you know, I could delve so much deeper into all of it, but I'm not going to this time. And I guess I think probably the other thing to say is, you know, I do coach in this. This is something that I'm very passionate about because of my own experiences of being avoidant and my own experiences of also being secure and seeing the absolute difference between them is incredible. So thank you so much for tuning in with me today. And if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, share with others who might find it absolutely valuable. And don't forget, I have my course. It's 10 lessons. They're not very long and they are very impactful. I actually did this myself a couple of weeks ago. I went through the course and it absolutely was so mind-blowing what came up for me. And it is still available at a very low cost. So please, please go check it out. The link is in the episode description. And until next time, take care. I love you very much. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Mwah.